1:02 past the 8, it's our time right here from Ontangwa Studio, coming to you live. Good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM. Good morning, my dear listeners. It is a pleasure, it's always a pleasure being in your company. And thank you for making Eagle FM your number one choice and your choice this morning. And as I said, for us, it's always a great pleasure to be in your company. And today is no difference at all. So thanks for coming through. Thanks for joining us this morning. Our time is 2 minutes past the hour of 8. And my name is Mike Oshovedi, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, your daily show, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories. Trends and numbers are making headlines. So we keep it clear. A little witty and always curious. Curious, asking questions, asking the question that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, as sparking a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you and welcome. This is your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So today is the 2nd of October of the 10th month, 2025. And as what we do here, usually we start with our segment on this day in Africa. What exactly happened throughout history on this very day in Africa on the 2nd of October? So on the 2nd of October in 1958, Guinea declared its independence from France, becoming the first French West African colony to become fully independent rather than remaining within the French community. So Ahmed Sekou Touré became its first president. And on October the 2nd in 1904, that's now in 1904, the German general Lothar von Trotha issued an order to exterminate the Hereros and the Namaqua people in the German Southwest Africa, present-day the land of the brave, Namibia. And this act is considered the first genocide of the 20th century. It resulted in the death of about 65,000 Hereros and 10,000 Namaqua people died or exterminated. So the 2nd October as well is also recognized internationally as the International Day of Nonviolence. Today is an International Day of Nonviolence. Please refrain from doing any act of violence today, okay? So observe the day. It's an International Day of Nonviolence. Additionally, the 2nd of October is also marked as a World Habitant Day globally. So it's also remembered as a World Habitant Day in the world. All right, so, but it's an International Day of Nonviolence. So please make sure that nonviolence is not only physical, even in what you say. Try to be nonviolent, okay? So, all right. So observe the day, you know, as it is. So good morning. And welcome. So today's Thursday, October the 2nd. And what could be the thought for the day? What is our thought for the day today? Only the dumb dog chases a flying bird. Only the dumb dog chases a flying bird. Now, the proverb means that it is foolish to chase something that is unattainable or out of reach. It suggests that only someone lacking sense or wisdom would waste time and effort pursuing an impossible goal or something that is not realistically within their grasp, something that they cannot grasp. So the proverb actually just warns against useless pursuits and encourage focusing on achievable objectives rather than chasing illusions and unrealistic desires. So only the dumb dog chases a flying bird. So hopefully your decision today is, and the choices that you make, you are not the dumb dog that chases a flying bird, which means you are chasing something that is unattainable or out of reach. So be the wise one who would waste no time and effort pursuing any impossible goals. So, yes, only the dumb dog chases a flying bird. That's our thought for the day. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, stay tuned. We will be back.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutia, utekirofabuna, I matina, omjo. Chikao shafa sananana, longeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. I moyao, ota ingongotisa mweni. Anangeshifa, ya Namibia, ombitomba na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma iyoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimwepo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahi tatuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, if you want to advertise your business or you just maybe want to have you just want to have your event or function or business meetings or whatever it is, a workshop, a conference, expose via, let's say, live streaming and broadcasting, make sure that you contact our office at 083-288-8400. So, and as the lady said, you will definitely end up with a big smile on your face. All right. So, welcome. Our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. And I will be with you. And I hope that you will be with me until 10 o'clock. So the Unpacking the Days, we go up to 10 o'clock. So, okay, let's start with our first items on the show. That is AGOA. So we will be talking about AGOA today, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. So, after 25 years, this is after 25 years, which actually for 10 years, and then it renewed on the 2015 by, who is that? Which president is that? Was on 2015. Barack Obama renewed for another, actually 10 years again until, you know. Yeah, so, after 25 years now, a key trade agreement between many African nations and the United States, which is actually called AGOA, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, has officially come to an end. Of course, there has been lobbying, not only from African countries, but also within, from America itself, some member of Congress to actually extend it maybe for 1 year. And some countries like Kenya asking for 5 years, more extensions. So, yeah, so there are some still discussion that are going on to actually extend this to another year or so. So, yeah, so what exactly was AGOA, you know? So you have to think of it as kind of like it was a special handshake between, you know, that's those special handshake, you know, between the United States and other, and about 30 African countries, including some of our neighbors as well, which is including us as well, but on some of our neighbors as well. So for about 25 years, since the year 2000, this agreement allowed this country actually to send a whole list of goods, like textiles, clothing, cars, even vanilla beans, even vanilla beans to the U.S., into the U.S. market, without actually paying those, you know, those annoying import taxes. So those referred to as tariffs, without paying those. So the idea was really, the idea of this, of the AGOA was to boost African economy, create jobs, and build stronger trade ties. So that was the idea. So, and we shouldn't be complaining because we are at the stage where we think now, yes, we want to be treated on equal level, you know? So it looks like some countries talking about, oh no, you know, and this will create unemployment and certain factories in certain countries or manufacturing would come to an end and all that. So, but we're saying we want to be treated on equal footing. So shouldn't be complaining, I guess. So, yeah, and that was the original idea. So it's really to boost African economies. It has been 25 years. Where are we so far? Where are we now? Have we achieved what the original goal was, or the original idea was? Have we boosted African economies has been boosted? Has it created jobs? And did we brew that? Have we also really built a stronger ties with the state? So we continue after this commercial quickly.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yeah, that was worked nicely. The U in UNAM is you. You know, that's absolutely clever. All right. Good morning. Good morning. And we were asking. I was asking a question. This the original idea of AGOA, did it work? Did we boost African economies? Did we create jobs and build a strong trade ties? So I think for many countries, it worked. It worked. Industries grew in some of those countries. People got jobs. We saw good produced in places like Lesotho, Madagascar and Kenya making their way into America, into American shelves. So for a quarter of a century, it was a cornerstone. I think it was a cornerstone of how many African nations traded with the U.S. So, but that era officially came to a close on September 30th this year, this week, I guess. Yeah, this week. And no extension so far. Yeah, so as I said, they are still lobbying and negotiation for the extension. And up to now, there's no deal. You know, deal or no deal. So at this point in time, definitely no deal. So now, the big question is, I think the big question is, what happened next? So what happened next? Will this create new opportunities? Or will it be probably a tough, we will find it very difficult adjusting for our economies? Would we find it very tough to adjust? And that's what we are. That's what we are unpacking this morning. So we have got some report on this, and we will be looking beyond the headlines as usual to understand what is the real story behind this report. So what AGOA really meant, you know, what really meant, just imagine, you know, put this one. Imagine a local Namibian company that makes a beautiful textile. Because of AGOA, they could send their shirt and dresses to the U.S. without the usual taxes. All right? So this made their product, you know, this then because of that, that make actually their product more competitive, meaning more American bought them. More American could bought actually their textiles or clothes and, you know, shirt and dresses. And that meant more work. From our point of view, that means more work for the people in that factory, more income for their family, because there's more jobs that to be done, and more business for the suppliers of raw materials. So it's a chain, you know, it's a supply network that really ripple. To many actors in the industry. So as you can see, so this wasn't just about, you know, if you look at that, this wasn't just about the textile. It applied to a wider range of goods, from agricultural products like fruits and vegetables to even elements of the automotive sectors in some countries like South Africa. So it was a range of goods, okay? So the report tells us that the AGOA was signed into law, way back in the year 2000. Yes, that's when it has been a long time. That's why it's about 25 years. So think about how much has changed now. So much has changed. In the world, so much has changed in the world since then. So, and for 25 years, it has been a cornerstone of trade policy for many African nations looking to connect with the U.S. market. Now that is gone. It is gone. Oh, it's getting hot in here. So now that it's gone, and according to news, there was a lot of lobbying, okay? A lot of talking by African government and even some American business, as I said earlier on, are trying to get it extended. But as of this point in time, no formal extension passed by the U.S. Congress or signed into law by President Trump. Some reports suggest there was support for a short extension, maybe just a year, to allow for more review. But without that legislative action, the reality is the benefit of a duty-free access for many African export to the U.S. have now ended. All right? Now, and the impact is already being felt. The impact is already being felt. We are seeing reports that countries like say, a country like Madagascar, which relies heavily on its textiles and the vanilla I was talking about, the vanilla export to the U.S., could now actually face import taxes as high as 47% on those goods. 47% on those goods. That was actually, duty-free. So now, imagine your product suddenly becoming almost half as expensive to sell in your main market. So I think that's a massive, honestly, that's a massive, massive, massive blow. So in Lesotho, for example, okay, in Lesotho, a country that that heavily also dependent on its garment export to the U.S., the tariff and they aren't quite higher as in Madagascar, but a 15% import duty is still significant, which is actually in the same case with us. So 15%. So that puts thousands of jobs at risk as well. There will be people who are losing their jobs. And we have Kenya. There's also Kenya. For Kenya, that's a major apparel exporter to the U.S., facing a tariff of about 28% after exporting over $600 million U.S. dollar worth of goods in just 1 year under AGOA. In just 1 year. So that's a plain warning sign that things could actually turn bad, you know, in some countries as well. So even South Africa, okay, South Africa have more a diversified economy compared to many other African countries. So it's projecting a significant decline in its citrus sector and auto sector. So citrus, you have orange, you have, you know, all type of fruits that are citrus fruits, and also auto sectors. So with a fear of tenth of thousand of job losses as well. So now let's think about this. I want us to think a little bit about this. Are these figures, okay, just numbers? Are they just numbers, or do they represent a real, let's say, Namibians or real African who could be directly affected? Do they really present the real situation that could become something that could affect Namibian and Africans? So when we talk about job losses and economic disruption because of this, we are talking about families struggling to make ends meet, about, you know, about community that dependent, because we look at, there are community that dependent on these industries. So it is easy. I mean, it is easy to get lost in the politics and trade jargon, you know, but the human element is very crucial here. So, and I think that's much of our concern here. So the human element, because it's easy just, you know, to get lost in politics and trade jargon sometimes. So what is the counter argument or the flip side, or maybe the positive side? So, well, the report also suggests that the expiration of AGOA might actually be a catalyst of much needed change. So there are those who think, well, that could be a catalyst for a much needed change. Instead of just relying on the preferential treatment from one market, many African nations are now being pushed to look inwards, to look within yourself, to look at ourselves, and to diversify our partnership, rather than just looking at one preferential treatment, just looking at one market. So, and this is where now the African continental free trade area comes into play. this is a huge agreement that aims to create a single market for goods and services across the entire continent. So, and think of it as building a stronger trading network right here. So this is the difference, is that this is right here at home, connecting Namibian business with market in Nigeria, in Ghana, in Kenya, in Morocco. So all the way to Northern and Western Africa. So that would be building that strong trading network. But what are the challenges? So it's easy said than done. It's easy said than done, especially when it comes to Africa. So you can also imagine with 54 countries signed on and marked of in a market of 1.5 billion people. That's a significant force. It actually makes Africa a very significant force. We shouldn't be crying for spilled milk. Now, the argument is that by strengthening intra-African trade, the continent becomes more resilient and less dependent on external agreement like AGOA. So, and it's not just about Africa. It's not just about African trading with itself. So we are seeing a clear pivot towards other global partners as well. China, for example, has become a massive trading partner for Africa. So let's take about 2004. So the numbers are actually striking. So it's really striking. In 2024, for example, and 2024 alone, where's my information? 2024 alone, trade between Africa and China reached, where's my information? Okay, reached a massive $295 billion. That's far more than the AGOA linked trade with the U.S., which was around $8 billion in the same year. So in the same year, China, $295 billion US dollars, and AGOA, it's only about $8 billion in the very same year. So China has. We'll come back.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So welcome back. So as you can see, China has also been actively removing tariff. Hopefully this wouldn't turn in the same in the same issue as the state. China has been removing tariff on export from many African countries, from many African nations, and it is not just China. India, when you look at that, the trade with India. India and the European Union as well, so are also important players. These are also a very important player. So now this raises a critical question. It raises the question that is the end of AGOA a loss? I'm also asking you, is the end of AGOA a loss, or is it an opportunity for Africa maybe to chart its own trade course, where now we actually take our own, this into our own hand, one that is more diversified. Now we can be able to diversify it and perhaps ultimately become more sustainable. So we don't want to be caught with our pants down again, And actually where US also make a unilateral decision when it comes to that, because you have no power. Even if it was an agreement that only one country can decide. And I hope that's a lesson also with our agreement that we would probably have with China. It should be that it's an agreement that, that it doesn't only just favor China when they decide. We no longer see this as viable or profitable or serving our interests, then we are just left hanging. We don't know what to do, you know? So hopefully, this is us. The question is the end of AGOA a loss? Is it a loss? Or is it an opportunity for Africa to really, chart our own trade course? And especially the one that maybe it's more diversified, and create that sustainable, sustainability that we need in our trading. Now, so let's critically look at this. Let's look at this a bit. Okay. Now, the report highlights job losses and the immediate negative impact on key export sectors. Okay. Now, well, I think this is undeniable, the need serious, and it actually needs serious attention. But are we being presented with a full picture here? AGOA, while beneficial, was a unilateral preference program for the U.S. It was a unilateral preference program for the U.S. So this means the U.S. set the rules. And it could withdraw, as I said earlier, it could withdraw or alter based on their political decision, as we have seen it. They set the rules. And it could easily, was easier for them to either change the rule or withdraw as they did, or whatever the case may be, as we have to, we still have to see. So they can do whatever they want, depending on their political decisions. So is that the kind of long-term trade security now that Africa economy should be built on? Should be built on where we're not secure? Is that the kind of long-term trade security that we need as an Africa? So one angle to consider, according to expert, is the underlying motivation behind AGOA. It was framed as an economic opportunity. And it was economic opportunity. I think many countries, as I said, benefited from this. But you also have to understand that it's also a foreign policy tool, isn't it? It's also a foreign policy tool. The U.S. can leverage trade access to influence the policies and action of partner countries. That's what it has been. Awesome. So, now that it's expired, we need to ask, was the influence had beneficial for Africa as a whole? When you look at it, has it beneficial as Africa as a whole? Or did it create a dependency? Did it create a dependency that restrained true economic sovereignty? This is, we got a thing, man. We got a thing. In some way, maybe it did, but also created dependency. And as we see, and it also strained that we grow to that level of economic sovereignty. So, some might argue that the focus on AGOA side, it's actually sidetracked the fundamental task of building strong intra-Africa trade networks. So we're focusing more on foreign trade rather than, you know, building a strong intra-Africa trade network. Will we be able to do that anyway? Would we be able to really build a strong intra-African trade network? Will we be able to do that? The Africa Continental Free Trade Areas, for all its potential, it still faces a significant challenges. They still face a lot of challenges. Infrastructure development, harmonizing regulations, overcoming protectionists, you know, that protectionist tendency within the member state. There's so much that still actually need to be, you know, to be dealt with or to be dealt with within the Africa Continental Free Trade Areas. It has all the potential. It has all the potential. But there are a lot of hurdles that need to be, that still need to be solved. So will we be able to do that? So, and while the shift to now, as we're thinking, like the shift toward Africa Continental Free Trade is positive, which is actually positive, and many African, you know, advocate for that and, you know, pushing for that, the transition won't be really, it won't be seamless. It won't be, you know, a walk in the park. It won't be a walk in the park. It requires a sustained commitment. And this is the problem. A sustained commitment and, the biggest of all, investment. Investment from all participating nations, which rarely, you know, happen. Which is also including Namibia as well. We always do our part. I think Namibia normally does comply, you know, to many international requirements. But other African countries, are we? As I said, it's not going to be seamless. First, sustained recommitment, which is really lacking in most African countries. A sustained commitment and investment. Can we invest in our own project? In what we dream? Can we invest in our own dreams? So from everybody, if we want to achieve this dream. So, and furthermore, when we look at trade figures with China that we look at, the sheer volume speak volumes. That sheer volumes, it really speaks volumes. But we also need to ask critical question about the nature of this trade relationship. Think about it also. We could be saying, yes, we found another market, okay, celebrating it, yeah. But are we exporting? The question is, which, yes, it's a new market, it's a different market, which, as I said, the volume, I speak volume. Hey, oh, that's a new tech. I came up with something like UNAM now. So the volume speaks volume. Yeah, so, and as I said, when you have to think about it, yes, there's so much now trade between Africa and there's even, you know, the China have also taken away the tariff with so many African countries. But are we exporting raw materials and importing finished goods? That's what we're doing. We are exporting raw materials and we are importing finished goods from China. So, and at this partnership, now when you think of it, at this partnership creating value addition within Africa? Nope. Or are we simply replacing one? So one form of dependency with another. So it's like where we're replacing now United States with just another another dependency. So one form of dependency with another. So, and the report mentioned China eliminating, as I said, eliminating tariff, which is favorable. It is favorable. And it's always good for our, manufacturers and our exporters. But the underlying trade dynamics, which also, I think, if you listen to David yesterday's, at business, the underlying trade dynamics, the term of agreement, the long-term impact on local industries, those are very crucial area for deep scrutinies. Those are things that we need to get into. Those are very good, impactful things that we need to get into. And for Namibia specifically, while not as not prominently mentioned as some other nations in this report regarding specific sector heavily reliant on AGOA, our economy is interconnected regionally and continentally. So, and we need to understand which of our export oriented sector, if any, benefited from AGOA, and what the immediate implications are for them. And more importantly, how do we leverage this moment to strengthen our own trade infrastructure and explore opportunities with Africa, a continental free trade area, and with other diverse global partners? Well, for example, Turkey, India, China, whatever. So, yeah, the call for long-term competitiveness, regional self-sufficiency, and more diversified economic partnership is strong given where we are at this point in time. So this is not just about replacing AGOA. It's about a fundamental reevaluation of Africa's economic future. So it's about building from within, as they said, build from within, leveraging our collective strength, which we have as a continent, and forging partnership on our own terms. So the expiration of AGOA marks a significant turning point. It presents immediate challenges, particularly for those industries and workers who have come to rely on duty-free access to the U.S. market. So the potential for job losses is there, and economic disruption, that is actually real. Anyone who dismisses that is actually, haven't think through this. So that job losses and economic disruption is real in some countries and cannot be understated. So in countries like Lesotho, Madagascar, and Kenya, there are really some companies that depend on this. So however, it also throws a spotlight on the immense potential of the African continental trade free area and the growing importance of diversified then global partnership. So the shift from relying on this preferential access to a focus on a long-term competitiveness and regional integration is, I think, that's the critical evolution we need to think. And for Namibia, we need to assess our current trade landscape, identify our vulnerabilities, and capitalize on the emerging opportunities, which are there. Which are actually there. So strengthen our own local industries and improving our infrastructure, because that's very important, and actively participating in and benefiting from the Africa continent of free trade area. That should be a paramount. If we really you know, as I said, these are hopes. Hopefully, these dreams turn into reality. Yeah. So yeah, as the post AGOA era begins, you know, the question is not just what have we lost, but what new foundation can we build for a more prosperous and self-reliant African future? So, you are welcome now to come through. You can come through now and have your say, have your reaction on some of the of what we discussed so far. So, as I said, it's not what we have lost. Maybe is what new foundations can we build for a more prosperous Namibia? And let's talk about Africa, for more prosperous and self-reliant Africa. Let's create that future where we are reliant, self-reliant. So our telephone number, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you are most welcome to come through and have your say, have your contribution. So this is your platform, you know, to engage the public. 08333-66091.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Tisamwini, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Igelefem Media House, Way 23 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara ompashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu moambo dengira selma kodara heta tuimu datu heari jamano tano o niaj ikele fem so ai.
Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Very thank God.
Mm.
So, you know, me, my take on that,
yeah,
is simply just that yes, this AGOA or whatever presented economic opportunity to us.
Yeah.
Social and everything in no area of our life.
Mm.
Now, those opportunities that were there in addition,
yeah,
to the one that are emerging now because of the tariffs.
Mm.
So, isn't it in our own benefit, in our own goods, for us to say, fine, if you don't give me water tomorrow, so am I able to find any best alternatives to this?
Yeah.
So you were talking about, what is it, this reliance, this theory, this dependent theory of economy.
Yeah.
Now, if he says yes, the tariff is increased, and there are also other markets where you can source your opportunity to get in there, the market to penetrate. And then if you were, for example, whatever type of product or service that you were getting there that maybe we're buying, and the tariff is too higher. So maybe it's also a good time for us to see now, yes, what's the opportunity? Can we grab?
Yeah.
As a result of the tariff that is increased.
Yeah.
And in fact, when the tariff is increased on your side, there are other countries or other areas where you can create some strategic alliance.
Mm.
And then you get into there and then. So I think that's how my take is, because this is how they were doing also this big economy. You in China, those countries, America, with it is USA, whatever.
Yeah. So, but the other thing is also then, maybe this is also, as I said, it could be an opportunity as well. We're now reevaluating our Africa economic future. That is not just about, you know, getting into the market in China, but actually, you know, be a long-term competitive, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. rather than just do the same thing as we have with the U.S., a unilateral agreement. It should be an agreement that actually, in the interest of all of us, Africa and China or whoever, we get into their market. Yeah.
My brother, you have just said it. And then you say South Africa is a big, diverse, developing economy. And if it's South Africa is also affected,
yeah,
we on our side, of course, because of the trading agreement and all these things. And remember, this is also this international trade law.
Yeah.
The only problem is that many of these common law countries and all these other ones, they have got their own limitation in terms of their legal system.
Mm.
So then for us, of course, we can then find, although, yeah, we are also, it's also a need to improve.
Yeah.
Especially that this time around, I commend their efforts more when there is now one to crafting up those bills and all the things on the cyber security.
Mm.
And we are talking about now this digitally economy.
Yeah.
So now all these services, especially when you look at the gap in terms of our framework, so urban and rural and all these other things. So digital infrastructure,
yeah,
isn't it part? It's not part of one of our agenda, because I'm hearing it now every time as a part of the priority of the NDP6.
Yes, infrastructure part of that. Yeah.
And so I'm now talking about digital infrastructure.
Yeah,
that means all this tech, all this web, all these things that are coming.
Mm.
So now if they craft up a law, and even now, of course, there are regulations, and CRAN is also regulating and many, many other.
Yeah.
But then, when you look at those things now, at the schools in the rural area,
yeah,
there are so many, and they all need to get connected to internet or internet of things.
Yeah.
So now if we cannot identify maybe those programs ourselves and say, yes, AGOA, you are giving us this trouble,
yeah,
or whatever. So what do we do? Do we need to reorganize and mobilize resources within?
Yeah.
So I think that's my take on that, Mike.
All right, man. Well, cool. Thank you. And thank you for coming through. Eh?
All the best.
All right. Very good morning to you. Our time is about 54 minutes past the hour of 8. We go up to 10 before we hand over again to Wintik. So we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, yes, we're talking about, you know, this as the did I end that? Okay, yeah. So the... I think the point you're making there, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, as I said, for all its potential, and this is the same with the issues with locally also or individual countries. You know, we're really facing significant, you know, challenges, as we're talking about infrastructures, harmonization, regulation, and be able to rectify those protocols. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah, AGOA.
There, AGOA.
Yeah.
Is it a loss or is it an opportunity?
No, it's a loss.
Yeah.
It's a loss because we're getting opportunity.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we don't really understand it, because it was talking about Africa to grow.
Yeah.
And Africa to get the opportunity to the bigger market.
To the bigger market, yeah. Mm.
So the problem of African leaders is that they don't understand their own product and their FDI product.
Yeah.
So that is where we are failing for 25 years. because we are doing this for somebody else, not for ourselves.
So make it clear where you're saying they don't understand their product and their FDI product. So what do you mean by that?
The Namibian product, when we are talking about what we are trading with America, with our own product, is when we talk about natural resources that we have, products that we are producing. Those are the things that it can get free duty to enter in the United States.
Yeah.
But if we are doing this for the company that's come from India, for example, a textile like Lamatex was.
Yeah.
It's an indirect profit of India.
Yeah. Or a company that actually come from the U.S., extracting, material from Namibia.
Yes. Yeah. Now it look like Otoriem and Dambari.
Yeah.
So they have their own product in somewhere else, or even in the United States, and they are making other brands.
Yeah.
To those advantage countries like in Africa and Asia.
Yeah.
So for Americans to teach us how to do business, they're giving us this opportunity to say, okay, we need your own product to come in America for free and see how you're marketing yourself. After that, maybe you're getting a chance to do it in Canada, UK, and Australia.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we were doing this. Because why we have to say this?
Yeah.
If you look at what happened to Lesotho, for example, the all levers that was consumed by the world, it come from Lesotho.
Lesotho, yeah.
But this is an American company.
Mm.
They are the one that is advertising. Lesotho have nothing to do with the advertisement.
Yeah.
They are the one that is receiving a requesting of order, which Lesotho is not a part of that.
Yeah.
So why we have to allow Lesotho doing something while he can do it himself? And this is Lesotho, and they are not the one that is buying those products.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day,
with actually the 15%, that 15% is not necessarily on Lesotho, but on the product that American are actually are taking out of Lesotho.
Yes. So now, when it comes now to South Africa, South Africa were having opportunity, because remember in 1965, those assembling cars come in South Africa. But up to today, South Africa has, there is no but single person in South Africa that have his own brand of car, which has experience of 50 years.
Yeah, South Africa hasn't got his own brand up to now. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So those are now the things that why we have, they have to bring up, they're making cars, which is BM, Mercedes-Benz, Toyota, and bring it to America, which Americans are not benefited much from Japan or from Germany. Why they have to do this? Now, it's an outcry for South Africans because they are losing jobs. Of saying, take back this company, this Mercedes-Benz company back to Germany, come up with your own, since you have experience of 6 years, come up with your own product that we can buy, or come up with your own manufacturer of car parts, so that we can buy from you.
Yeah.
But they didn't sign up to manufacturing car part for America.
Yeah.
They sign up with car part with Europe. You see now.
Yeah.
So which means that South Africans were losing jobs because of they were not their jobs. It was for belonging to the Germans.
Mm. So if I get you right, there are two ways looking at this. There is a company, like say for example the automotive companies in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And compare that to Midco in Namibia. So Midco is actually a Namibian product.
Okay? Yep.
And so, and when now U.S. actually slapped a 15% to Midco, that hurt us more because this is a Namibian product compared to a 30% that goes to Mercedes-Benz in South Africa. Because that only goes to a multinational company.
National company.
Yeah, it does. It hurts South Africa in terms of job losses because, you know, but not necessarily South African. It's not a South African product.
No, it's not a South African product.
Yeah.
So those are the things that if you wanted to see it in, for example, in Namibia, I mean, in Africa, that the African doesn't know their own product.
Yeah.
Look at what we kill this red flea abattoir.
Yeah.
It was doing business with the Scandinavian country.
Mm.
It was buying to our farm, here Namibian farm. Because South African, they are meat market. They are relying on Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe.
Supply, Seketo, you see now. Yeah.
So those are the problems that this AGOA was teaching us, that Namibia will also go on opportunity to bring up straight your meat to America.
Yeah.
Not to go through South Africa.
South Africa. Mm.
Where we know they don't have cattle that is quality on meat.
Yeah.
So these are now the things that, as I said, this is just a lesson for us to learn in future, that we cannot, because now we are opening up doors with the China, for example.
Mm. And my question is, how different that would be now? Would that be still a unilateral agreement from the side of China, or how would be that different?
It might end up not having much different, because China is not a big market as America.
Yeah.
Because most of this, the Chinese, they don't like in African market, products.
Yeah.
They want in the, because remember, this is in the middle class country now. It's up middle class country in China.
Mm.
So they choose what is more famous into the world.
Yeah.
So they want in the French champagne, they want the quality meat from Japan that are written by the Americans. They want to compare him with the Americans market.
Yeah.
So they cannot, what they are buying, look at the numbers that you're giving about China's buying African product.
Yeah.
They are buying a lower material.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying now. This shouldn't be, it shouldn't be an exciting thing to say, well, that's so much, because they're actually buying a raw material.
When it's
duty free, it means that we actually they make it easier for us to sell more, you know, for us to actually give away more raw materials.
So raw materials.
It's not in our favor, actually.
No, it's not in our favor, because they are the one that is on the digging.
Yeah,
They are the one that is on the door.
Mm.
So what are we make as the Africans?
Yeah.
So the opportunity was like Zambia have copper. They can melt in this copper, putting on the different package, 50 kg, 100 kg, and so on.
Yeah.
And then they sell straight to the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Not to go indirectly to China. China is looking for the market in New Zealand. New Zealand is the one that have access to America.
Yeah.
No. It's a Chinese, yes, we're understanding it's a Chinese supplier thing, but it's not like that, because some people, the owner of the product, they are not the one that is getting richer.
And exactly not, yeah.
So those are the problems that most of the callers, they don't understand that. When we are talking about Namibian products, as I think in your program where I said, you see, we have quality products in Southern Africa,
mm.
like our beer, like our dairy
meat,
product.
Yeah.
No, meat is the highest one.
Yeah.
But we are talking about things that we are selling to Angola. The juice that we are selling to Angola is more than the one South Africa is selling to Angola.
Yeah.
So we are selling those. This East End also is one of the toppest things if you go to Southern African countries.
Mm.
So those are the products from Bokomo and Namibia Mills. It's a Namibian product.
Yeah.
That we cannot say, because we don't have a big shelf in the world, in the African market, we cannot say we don't have any product. We have some that are doing good in the African market.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, most of the one that we are selling is the one that is from South Africa. It's not our product. Anything can happen in South Africa or crossing this border, or the conflict are coming to South Africa, or even in Namibia here.
Mm.
Because what I'm seeing in the future that I want to heading up, maybe my time is. If you look at what is now this lana coming to manufacture, to doing this processing food, what in Namibia, it kills the same that killed, the same that is Metro.
Yeah.
Was killed by the Chinese in the north. Because Metro was mending for a wholesale only. But when you allowed the Chinese to come as a man, as a supplier, and then he's starting to sell in the single item, Metro do the same.
Yeah.
Now you're finding people are buying one beer in the wholesale. So those are the problems that we don't understand our policy. We don't know how to implement in those things. What is the benefit of us? What is the benefit of the community out there? So we kill the opportunity of others.
Yeah.
Those are the problems that I'm saying. The opportunity of our goal for 25 years, it's never making any sense into African leaders. And at the end of the day, we are crying because of job losses. But it was not our job. What if, look at what happened to PJ. They withdraw and they go with their people.
Yeah.
Back to France. What if BM withdraw from South Africa? Even now Nissan is withdrawing. They're facing an estrangement.
Estrangement, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So those are the problems that you cannot, unless you're adding up different from what I'm saying, I will listen to you. But if you are telling me that this is, AGOA is doing bad, no.
Yeah.
We thank Trump to teaching us a lesson that most of the products that are selling by Chinese, they are not a Chinese product.
Mm.
They are African products that are selling through Chinese because we think geopolitics is benefited more. Geopolitics doesn't benefit anything. Maybe it benefited the suit.
All right.
And this corrupting briefcase.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that.
No, thank you for coming through.
You're welcome.
All right. Good. All right. Dr. Omu. I said, Mike, good morning. I think we should be informed by trade and industry or NSA what are the product we export duty and tariff free to the US and how much we stand to lose. So in case the American buy less, what are our alternative export markets? So can we increase our production to take advantage of these alternative markets? So we can't keep on theorizing about the impact of Trump tariff and the death of AGOA. All right, that's Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Matundu as contributing also on the show. All right, so you're most welcome also to just come through and give us your perspective, give us your take. You're most welcome to do that. Our telephone number 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So if you want to have your thought and the platform for you to share your thought and your ideas, so 08-333-66-091. All right.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, Eagle FM. And as I said, if you want to remain connected to Eagle FM wherever you are and anywhere, anytime, so all what you need to do is to download Eagle FM mobile app. And you are definitely, it doesn't matter where you are. I think that's the beauty of having actually the app. You could be anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're in the country or outside of the country, you will be able to listen to Eagle FM. I was even in Angola the other time for almost about, and because I have internet access, I was able to listen to Eagle FM. I was listening to some programs that I wanted to listen to. So, do the same, you know, download the Eagle FM app and you will always be updated with what is going on with us here. So 0833-66-091. We're talking about AGOAs expires after 25 years and what is next for African countries. So do come through and have your take on that. Otherwise, there's another topic that I found it very interesting. Maybe we can get into. I still have actually enough time. But you're most welcome to come through if you want to still comment on AGOA, and what is next for African countries. So someone is knocking on my door. So he gave up. You're a chicken. You chicken up. Eh? You were calling and you just chicken up. Huh? Chicken out. Not chicken up. Chicken out. Eh? You're a chicken. All right. So do come through. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. 083-366-091. So, all right. As I said, we're talking about AGOA. And in some way, you know, someone also said that, think also in terms of that, you know, focusing on AGOAs actually sidetracked, this is some opinion, sidetracked the fundamental task of building a strong intra-Africa trade network. So do you agree with that? Or that was just another opportunity, another alternative that Dr. Matundu is talking about? Is that just another opportunity? Shouldn't really to say that sidetracked building a strong intra-Africa trade network. So, yeah, it's diversifying our market. Okay? It's diversifying our market. And as I said, as the caller just said, it's a loss, you know, especially when we have a duty-free, export, you know. So that is a loss, no matter how you look at it. Yes. And when we look at now at China, and it's something that I am asking, you know, that what we're exporting to China, is it finished product? Is it finished goods? Or we actually exporting raw materials, you know? So, and those are things that we need to change. And the issues when we're talking about, and I think that's a focus of our politician as well when we talk about Africa continent of free trade area. So, and it's a potential. We're talking about potential, which actually, so you just said now that we should start actually now doing. Eh? Let's take all the issue, the hurdles that actually preventing us from trading with each other. Infrastructure. It's one of the biggest problem. Infrastructure development. And this is the question with different countries. Like Namibia can have a very good harbor, you know, and in preparation now to think, okay, I want to become this harbor, you know, a hub for the southern, you know, for SADC countries, especially the landlocked countries. But if their transport network is not good, if their transport infrastructure is not good, you may actually have, you know, a harbor that it doesn't really, that it doesn't serve what you envision, because other countries are not at the same level. And how do you have the country actually being at the same level? You know, you have to have joint capital project, you know, this major project, have joint funding to be able to do that. Otherwise, each one is going on there. The priority of Namibia might not be the priority of Angola. Angola is prioritizing something else, and we are prioritizing something else. So we will always be on the parallel, not really moving in the same directions. So, yeah, we're talking about the overcoming the protectionist tendency, you know, where you just focus on your needs. Yeah? And that's a problem for Africa. That's a problem for, I think, the challenge, not a problem. Maybe that's a challenge for Africa Continental Free Trade Area initiatives. All right. So do come through. Engage me. Engage the public. Engage our listeners. Have your opinion. That's why we have this platform, for you to come through and share your thought and your ideas. Yeah. So 0833-66091. So good morning to you, and welcome to Unpacking the Day, your go-to show for digging deep into the stories that matter to us here in Namibia. So, and I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So let's go into another segment. So in this segment, we're talking about, and this is a story in the Namibian. Okay. And we're talking about the much hyped green hydrogen project by Hyphen Hydrogen Energy. Okay, let's go to the caller. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mr. Zaveri, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you, but there's a little bit of a deeper something. But I can hear you. Just go on.
How about now?
Yeah, now I can hear you. All right.
Okay, I'm not an expert on the topic.
No, I just need your opinion, that's all.
Exactly. Because when you look at AGOA,
yeah,
how it was set up,
yeah,
in 2000, what was the main purpose? It's basically to enhance relation between,
yeah, the ties and boosting boost economy, yeah, boost economy as well in Africa, yeah.
Yes. It's basically a relationship in the area of economy.
Yeah.
So which was basically signed by President Clinton.
Yeah, but Clinton, yeah. Mm. And then extended by Obama in 2015, I think. Yeah.
Yes, because it was only a 15-year project, and then they extended to 25 years, meaning that this year it's basically its last.
Yeah, actually ended the 30th of September. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I like what your first caller, because he's asking some critical questions.
Yeah.
That who benefits? When we have this trade agreement, and when you trade with each other, is there really big economical development, and the opportunity that are given? Are we really taking advantage of them?
Yeah.
What is enabling us to take advantage of them?
Yeah.
And what is disabling us from taking advantage of them? Because if you look at, there's only two countries that graduated from AGOA, and Seychelles being one of them. The other one is also a tropical country, or rather islandish type of country. I forgot its name.
Seychelles,
Equatorial Guinea. So we only have two countries that graduated from AGOA. So yeah. What happens to the rest?
Yeah.
When you look at Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe, I think, needs to be a partner much more, but Zimbabwe, they don't qualify.
Yeah, they were not part of AGOA, yeah. Mm.
They were not part of AGOA.
Yeah.
And one thing that is also a trigger is that qualifying for AGOA, it's at the prerogative of the United States president.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day. So, because they say they are only targeting sub-Sahara country, but not just because you are part of sub-Sahara, it doesn't mean that you can qualify.
Yeah. No. Definitely, there are criteria. Yeah.
There are criteria.
But also criteria that being dictated by America anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, they say relationship should be two-way. So, if one has an upper hand in that particular relationship, then how good is that relationship at the end of the day? Because you must understand that if someone is saying, we use words such as development, words such as maintaining peace,
yeah,
words such as growth, but is the growth really being there? Is it really there?
Yeah.
Those are the things that we should look into. Because me coming into your country, extracting your minerals, and you sell it to me, and through a safe passage where I do not have to pay a certain amount of tariffs in making sure that it gets to you.
Yeah.
So we focus much more on job creation. Whenever something is created, you are told it's creating this much job. But how much is the country benefiting apart from income tax that the citizen offer to the country through tax? Collection of tips.
Yeah,
the only benefit.
The good thing, I think, I think the previous caller mentioned is that people have to make a difference between, like, the Namibian product, and sometimes you have actually a company. I give an example to understand well that you look in South Africa. You have Mercedes, for example. They are assembling the Mercedes and then export that. So, but in Namibia, we have, for example, Midco. So if US actually place tariff on the Mercedes, yes, the impact of unemployment for the people of South Africa, of the people that are working in the factory, it will be just the impact on unemployment, or losing job. But in Namibia would be on the product, Namibian product, which is like meat and all that. It has more a severe impact. Compared to companies that are not local product, if you like, if you can put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but when you look at also Mercedes being produced in South Africa, you must understand that even a South African, those that produce the car, the Mercedes themselves, the Mercedes Benz is much more expensive in South Africa compared to where they export those Mercedes Benz are exported to.
Yeah.
So those are the things that one also needs to look at. You also mentioned about our meat. Why do we have so many of our farmers choosing to sell themselves directly to South Africans or look for their own markets? Because we also have a lot of beef that are being imported into countries that actually produce its own meat.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I think even though this meat is not coming from the United States, it's basically coming from its neighbor, mainly Canada.
Mm.
So, I think we must look into a relationship. That why would someone want to come to me and establish a relationship? What benefit do I have to that particular relationship? And what can I do to take advantage?
Yeah, but in honest truth, sometimes when we really need to face ourselves with reality, are we, in honest truth, are we equal partners when it comes to China? When it comes to US, when it comes to Europe, can we really be equal partners?
We can never be equal partner because look, if anybody comes and they want to create trading with you,
yes.
The first thing that they look at is your strong points, and yeah. they bargain from their strong points as well. Because what they usually tell us is that yes, the resources is yours,
yeah.
But I'm putting the risk of extracting and getting all these resources out.
Yeah.
Of which they know that they have a successful plan on getting this material out to themselves. And they know that the chances of them succeeding is way high.
Yeah.
But then they will always tell you that they're taking on the risk much more than you.
Exactly, because so you're ignorant, because you don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not that you don't know. I think it's just that...
because if they say, I'm taking a high risk, and you know, no, you're not taking a high risk. So that would put you in a position where you can negotiate better to say, look, I'm not just going 30%. I want 45% because that's actually not a high risk. You understand?
Exactly. Mm. Because the material is there.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's still there. And I remember when the Japanese came here, they wanted to negotiate with us. It was during President Hage's term. And he says that, and he disagreed to certain terms. Yeah. And the question that they asked, what the Japanese asked the president is that, yeah, the things are there, but you are not using them.
Yeah.
You know, you are not utilizing them. So the thing is this, because we do not have the machinery, we do not have the financial power to make sure that these things comes out and we process it and sell it. Yeah. And they also dictate the market as well.
And if you are a leader, now, sometimes I place myself in the position of, and if you are a leader, you know that we don't have this capacity. Can we just take what we can? And that's why, even if it's 3%, even if it's 10%, at least, because it's come to that, it's kind of like, at least that's what we can. Others, we cannot be able to do this on our own, but at least that's what we can. Maybe we have a number of 300 people there employed. Well, that's good enough. Then when we have resources that we cannot be able to access ourselves.
To me, I think that's how you actually give up your power away.
Exactly.
That's how you give your power away, and that's how, and once you allow that, automatically you allow them to come for more.
And this is exactly what is happening.
And you see, you know, during our independence, we were very much tough on negotiating when it comes to the peers.
Yeah.
We need to get our 50% because all along, one of the songs that were sent is about Namibia's resources and diamonds were one of them. The resources number one that is spoken about.
Yeah.
So that's why we're very much tough on that. And those that actually follow afterwards somehow, we lost our fortitude to negotiate. And I think right now at this current position where we are, I think we need a different type of people in leadership that will be able to lead us to a promised land.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we'll always continue to negotiate ourselves into the ground.
We need an overhaul, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
With people with a different mindset. I think this is what the president is trying to do, but the core, the machine that delivers hasn't changed. You understand? Yeah. So the president is trying to bring a new life, new blood and things like that. But the machine that delivers, it hasn't changed. Yeah.
Mr. Osheveri.
Yeah.
You know why it took 40 years for the Israelites to reach the promised land? It's because a certain generation needed to die out so that only a certain generation, which has not been affected to everything else, will be able to get into that land and be productive within that land.
Yeah.
So currently, right now, if the machine is not working, uproot the whole entire plant a new vineyard. I think that, and it's going to make a few people angry, but to tell the truth, for the benefit of the entire whole.
Exactly.
Let's do that.
Yeah. And it's going to take time. We have to acknowledge that it's going to take time. But if we see that we actually planting a seed in the right direction, fine, but it's going to take time. And this is, we know where the problem is.
It's going to take time. And I remember there was one of the things that the Japanese usually say is that they understand that they will not enjoy the fruits.
Yeah.
But in order for their country to be where it needs to be, they need to do self-sacrifice for the benefit of the entire country.
And that's
so
the mindset.
They understand that I'm planting a tree of its shade and I'm not sitting. But all I know that the country will have fruit.
Yeah, that's the mindset that we need. Yeah. Mm.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for coming through. Eh?
Yes, bye.
Great. Mm. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And we're talking about AGOA. Is it an opportunity? Is it a loss? We're learning that according to the news,
and according to what is going on. So the AGOA has ended. So of course there are a lot of lobbying that is going on and a lot of talk that is having on by African government and even also by some American business trying to get extended. Let's see whether that's gonna happen, you know, with this administration. But what we're looking at is this a loss or is an opportunity for Africa maybe to diversify their trade market?
A very good morning.
Oh, sorry, Mike, man, just maybe a minute or so.
Please, yeah.
Yes, so now, it's true, those other ones, if we can produce our own local produce,
yeah.
Especially when you look at our ports are very good. We even gave Zambia and Zimbabwe, who's the other country that we gave dry ports? So even where our green hydrogens are going,
yeah.
This produce, we should also then negotiate, maybe strengthen our negotiations and build our capacity.
Yeah.
And then we can negotiate better. Just like the brother said there that, yes, if those ones are negotiating, because you must always look at your own concern, your own needs.
Yeah.
So now where they are going, we make sure that we create those logistical arrangements and transportation, even here in Namibia.
Yeah.
The young ones, they are not even interested in getting into the logistic and transportation.
Mm.
All these produce that are coming now is the same company that are going to do the work because they are not even submitting for the funding.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through again.
Mm. Very good morning to you. 0833-66091. Sure you can come through and have your say. All right. 33 minutes past the hour of 9. I always get caught up in in betweens when you get now to a certain point. Now, should I start the new one or should I continue opening up lines for the same topic? You're welcome to come through. 0833-66091. All right. Yes, let's have this one as well. We're talking about the green hydrogen project by hyphen hydrogen. Okay. Every time I try to get someone come through. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike.
Good morning.
The fund to funding any company, the money is can be available because that is what the IMF is for.
Yeah.
So the country have opportunity to go asking money. The IMF, if they're a local company. Because remember, the collateral from the government is a natural resources that you have in your country.
Mm.
So if you are mentioning that to extract it in some of your national your natural resources, it's easy for you to get money. And this is what's happening to some of the in Japanese. Yeah. If you look at Japanese
history. Isn't really easy.
And there are the
stringent kind of criterias that go with any loan coming from these institutions.
No, the issue is like Namibia, for example.
Yeah.
You cannot giving Namibia a loan, which have no project, but to funding their own benefit, their own government.
Not their own. Government salaries and all that.
The salaries you have to come up on your own. That's why it was advised, I think, in President Pohamba's the time or the first term of late Hage,
yeah.
Rest in peace. So it was where they said, no, Namibia is up middle class country because you go on the look of the Namibians that are benefited, that are now living the highest standard, they are benefited from the government.
Mm.
We cannot loaning you that money because you are funding those type of people. But if you wanted to come up with even African Development Bank, it can also be part of that because it guaranteed that the government, remember the Minister of Finance,
yeah.
Well, he wanted to do that, to say anybody who are coming up with a good idea, we can be a collateral for him,
yeah.
To getting money even to the central bank.
Yeah.
Because central bank have a right to generating bonds that can generating money from somebody else.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So those are the things that you cannot blaming that you don't have money here. No. It's only that we don't want to be a part of the players of the world.
Yeah.
So those are the other things that you can see even in South Africa. There is no part of the players. There is only those who want to benefit straight from what is coming in.
Mm.
So anyway, that is what I wanted to create. Let us not blaming the financial issue here. Yeah. No, the financial issue, even Development Bank of Namibia, is also having money for development of Africa.
Yeah.
They are always requesting from outside. They are not using the Namibian fund. So, yeah, and we have also GIPF, which is one of the part of us. It was also funded in some of the property developers.
Mm.
We know some of them that is now multi-billionaire rich because of the GIPF money.
Of that, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So let us not blaming that. We blaming the ideas and the fear of being a part of the game to lose. Because some of, even this program, people they don't want to call because they don't want to see on the other side where they are. What is the understanding of them?
Yeah,
so anyway.
I have even people that I'm following up that they don't want to actually comment on government policies and things like
that. You see? Yeah.
You see?
Because they don't understand really what is their benefiting on those policies.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, anyway, Mike.
All right.
Let's hear from others. Yeah.
Great, great, man. Mm.
08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. Yeah. It's like there's a restriction, especially from former people that have been, I'm not going to mention their names here now, that have been in the government as ministers. Yesterday I called two of those people who have been in the, they have been ministers in the government. And I wanted actually to discuss this whole question of AGOA, and they told me no, they are not prepared actually to comment, to actually have a public comment on government policies and all those kind of stuff. So, well, but I just need your opinion we just need your opinion. You're not an official. Yeah, but your opinion as an academic, you know, no, they completely flat down, you know, saying nope. Yeah, so yeah, it's kind of like there's a restriction. Maybe people are worried about, okay, if I say something wrong, I may not actually get a post in the future or whatever the case may be. Yeah, it's bad, you know. Yeah. All right, yeah, that's not the point. So, yeah, do come through. And our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. All right, so otherwise, this is a very interesting story, yeah? If we really, really go into it, okay? As I said, this is the hydrogen project by the Hyphen Hydrogen Energy. You know, the one planned for a massive area in the south of our country, generating clean energy. So it's been presented as a game changer for Namibia's economy, and a big step towards, you know, the greener future. Okay. So, but recently, a key player a big German energy company called RWE. The RWE has put the brakes. They have put the brakes on its interest. So they say demand. The thing is that what they say is that the demand in Europe for this hydrogen or the the ammonia it turns into, so it's isn't strong as they thought. So they said this is strong as they thought at the beginning. So now this news comes on the heels of a strong statement from the NAMA traditional leaders leaders association, the NTLA as well. So they have been very vocal. They have been very vocal saying this project is built on ancestral Nama land, land with a painful history of dispossessions and even genocide. So that we talked about this morning today. And they even accused the German companies of perpetuating colonial wrongs. So now how many time I have really? The RWE, though say their decision has nothing to do with this letter, because there was this letter from the NTLA, the Namibia. Not Namibia, NAMA Traditional Leaders Associations. So they claim that their decision has nothing to do with that letter. So they claim they never even had a final deal to buy the ammonia in the first place. So what is the real story here? Is it just a hiccup in the growing green energy market, or is something deeper going on? Okay, let's get into it. That's what we do here, Nick. That's what we do. We unpack here. So now, first thing first. Now, let's look at the RWE situation. So they are saying, look, Europe's needs for green hydrogen, for hydrogen and ammonia is growing slower than we expected. And this is a crucial point. because this whole project that one by Hyphen in Tsau Kaip National Park is banking on the massive appetite for this green hydrogen from overseas, particularly Europe. So if that appetite isn't as big or as fast moving as predicted, well, that's a problem for the project viability, isn't it? That's a problem for the project viability. Now, it's like you are setting up a stall. I'm just giving an example. It's like you're setting up a stall at a market, expecting to sell 1,000 of your special Namibian craft. You invested a lot of time and money, but then suddenly the main buyers you were counting on say, actually, we have got too many craft already. We got too many craft already. So, sorry, we are not sure we need that many right now. So that is essentially what the RWE is signaling. All right, let me get to the caller quickly.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, man. How is it going, Mike?
So far, so good. So we want to engage, discuss in these issues that matter to our country and to our continent.
Yeah. For me, with our Gwani.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing that is happening, because our continent, that they are not ready to save our own people.
Yeah.
What we are doing, what Trump is doing, I think is teaching African lesson. And it's a good one when come on time. Because so many things are happening is that every time we are looking outside, we want somebody to come from outside to tell us our problem.
Yeah, to solve our problems.
Exactly. Which I don't understand. That's why I'm telling you that we are too much behind when to catch up with the other continent.
Yeah, but we have to be fair with ourselves. Okay, no, I'm not talking about in terms of corruption or wasteful of resources, but we are far behind. Yeah, with Europe, but, with China, with America, we are far behind.
But why is there to be that way?
Because we have been colonized, they have plumbing out our resources, and they build on our resources.
Yeah, but other countries who have also been colonized, they are doing well, huh?
Well,
and we like see even the other country, yeah.
Well, I said yes, like Indonesia and.
Exactly. Talk about Indonesia. Talk about even Iceland, which are taking our resources. I mean, fish. Yeah, Iceland, they don't have anything much, apart from mine with the having there.
Yeah. No, there are things that are our own doing. There are things that is our own doing. Yeah, definitely. But we also have to say yes. We are coming from behind.
But we are the one who are doing it ourselves. Because you cannot tell me, up to now we are complaining about even housing.
Hmm.
We only having 3.5 million. Look at the, people start talking, Namibia people start talking, we start comparing ourselves with Zimbabwe and Angola, which are having more population than us.
Hmm.
So I think seriously, when I'm looking at even our Namibian people, leaders, making a lot of long speech, you're just wondering what is this now. Yeah. And sometimes those speech are nice when they are outside, they are addressing the United Nations.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But here in Namibia, they are not doing the same.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's like somebody's holding your hand.
It's easy to make up a speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
easy. Even today, we are using chat.
So. That's anybody can do it, and when you look at that, and sometimes you really see, and I always the how, and even time when I'm listening, and maybe the problem is that I have become an analyst on the program like this. Now when a person now is speaking, I'm becoming so critical, but you're just reciting things. But how are we going to do that? But I become so critical, you know.
Yeah, because Mike, they don't tell us anything which is new.
Yeah.
They tell us things which we know already. And they've been saying it over and over. So it's become boring. Just like you are watching a movie, even to a nice movie, action movie.
Yeah.
It become bored because it's like you know the parts.
And you know how it's gonna end.
It's
a movie that you've watched before. How it's gonna end.
And it's become boring, really.
Yeah.
That's why every time even they are saying something level and you are like, there's a doubt.
Yeah.
Always, because. And one thing you guys were talking about, even our mind, we are not negotiating. How can you negotiate if your mind, your natural resources doesn't have a value if it's under the ground? That's what we heard from the former minister of mine.
Yeah.
There's no value when it's in the ground. The command is no value. Just imagine.
Yeah.
And we have kids, we are sending them scientists, and we are sending engineers, and we are doing what, sending them to China. Yeah. Why they don't come and tell us what is the value in the ground? No, Mike. Something had to be done. It's what I'm saying. It's our own doing. But for me,
of course, it's
I feel even good that AGOA, it come to the end. Maybe we start till looking at our domestic economy.
You see someone who have been you have been given all the time. You know, you have been begging all the time. And as much as there are two contradictions, sometimes you see this contradiction in African leaders. We go out there, we want to be treated like equals and all that. But at the same time, you still go and beg.
Beg again, exactly.
You know, you still actually go and beg. You're still actually begging. You know, you don't speak as if, and I agree, and I'm saying we're not on the equal.
And,
we have to come.
And you know, Mike, to make it the matter is even worse and seamless, is that this beggar is having a private jet.
Yeah.
He's wearing a nice suit. Spraying is almost what, 2,000.
Yeah.
Just mean the what he's wearing is what? Then it's a beggar.
Mm.
What kind of beggar are we having in Africa?
No, we are begging, but we don't know what we have. That's the thing. And the person you're begging to is kind of like, okay, all right, I'm going to give you this because he knows what you have. That's why that's why our resources are being extracted out, because we kind of like, okay, give us this. But they come up, okay, I'm going to give you this, but I'm going to... You know, to have that mine, 60% of that.
It will come with a condition. It's always like that.
Of course.
It's always, even like taking a loan. Yeah. They'll tell you, no, after 3 months we didn't pay, this is what is the consequence is going to be happening. And this is what we find ourselves in.
My friend, there are no charity out there. These institutions are not running charities. This is business. And they are institutions that actually, that actually put you, these are European institutions, and don't think that they don't actually support their own government. The reasons they are put there to actually, you know, as the front door, for the government, for European government to get into your resources.
And we don't see that. It's what the other time I was saying, I don't know who was talking in the radio, and then I said, no, why we don't do the same what the Europeans are doing? Because for us to give even on fish, which we don't have, we don't have the value. What about we send our youth there, which now we are channeling, giving them what? The small money. We put them around, like even DLC, we put as youth, we put them, we group them. Then we start sending the fish to them, whether they are able to bring the money, foreign currency to Namibia. We don't do that. That's why I think we better learn the hard way. It's only way.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's not even the hard way. This is, what he's doing, he's just doing right. He's just doing what is right for his country.
Yeah.
So I have been doing this for free for you. What am I getting out of this?
It's a hard time also. I think you graduate from that.
Mm.
Because I'm sure the time they give us.
And we're talking about duty free for China as well. There are African countries that they trade. They're actually trading.
I heard China. They are grabbing the opportunity.
But they are not grabbing the opportunity. Only that they are not. It's not that they are not benefiting. Because now they said, because we send raw material to China.
Yeah.
Is that open up that we send more?
Exactly.
And
we don't know that you are shooting ourselves because we think now we don't care about your market anymore. You say now we are going to China. At the end of the day, you don't know how much you are going to lose. When you learn out of your resource, is where we are going to find out that I was a fool the whole time.
Yeah, if this was a I think if it was this a final product, China would actually,
do that. No, they will not. They will not.
No, they will not.
No. Eh? They will not. That's why we are, even here, we are requesting them to have a processing industry here, but they are not doing it.
It's not it's not there in there. It doesn't benefit them. If I have to open up a processing here, so then.
What about my people in China for work? That's exactly. And it's what the African we are missing.
They don't want the final product. They want the raw material to create the final product. That's what they
I'm
want.
I'm telling you.
Yeah? And if you say build up a processing plant here, then it doesn't benefit me. You know?
It do not benefit.
It will
not
benefit.
At the end of the day, China, remember, they are only going to do to refine the raw material that side, and they start selling it back to us.
I mean, in most cases, that's what happened. Your raw material come to you in a TV you buy, the clothes you buy, the shoes you buy, everything that comes with the cell phone you buy, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
No. As African, I think it's a hard time also to start looking at ourselves. where we start exchanging the goods, like our forefather used to do, all the butter and what. But we can do that in, like, in form of what? We have to come up with something. People have been talking like a moment, that's why they are no longer here. Because
yeah. I think they, there was a caller.
They are trying to bring Africans together.
There's someone who said, and this is what we normally, you actually said, the cockroaches that you have. The thing is that we have a machine that is running, and that unless you really rip out that machine, you know, and yeah, I said, and even with the president, you can see the president have good intention, have good vision, have whatever. And he really meant that. She really meant that. But the machine, the machine that if you have this old car, that only run up to 180.
100.
To 180. No matter how much you want to push it.
You press it to go to 200.
It won't.
It's unless
you have to buy a new car.
Exactly. Or you start putting maybe power.
Exactly.
Like,
modify it and all that. The machine that we have to deliver what we want, it's not up to scratch, and that's what we need to change. Yeah.
But for me, for the current president, what I'm thinking of, I think she need to go and see this small boy.
No.
For Burkina Faso.
It's not
how
even
did,
that.
How did this guy get it right? We need that formula.
It's not that
we need the formula.
You see, the difference is here. You know, it's not that the people don't see, the people don't know. If you look at our policies and all that, in our vision, we know what we want. And as I said, from the NDP, NDP3 or whatever, these, when we're talking about value addition and all beneficiation and all this kind, they are all there. We know what we want. So the problems is actually when this guy, small boy, you're talking, he has now all the power invested in him. He can be able to say, man, hey, let's turn this into what, you know, and everybody it's going in the same direction. Now you decide. Yeah. Now, if you say, okay, let's spend this amount of money into what now, but you have a law that, okay, but the law doesn't allow you to do that.
Doesn't say so.
Yeah. So, our president are ceremonial. If you can't go something against, even if it's in the good interest, it's in the interest of the people, you know, really for the benefit of the people, you can't go against the constitution or the law for that matter.
But I think it's a hard time also to have what traditional leader in the world.
Yeah.
Because traditional, I think the democracy is not going to to dictate what they are supposed to be done and not to be done. Seriously. Otherwise, we are following these things.
Yeah.
Until we find ourselves in the 2050, but we're still having house problem. We're still having people who don't have a clean water.
Yeah.
Which we've been crying for 35 years. Just imagine, 35 years.
That type of style.
2.7 million people.
That style of governance worked for centuries and centuries in Africa. Eh? Why not adopting into our way of how we run our government?
Exactly.
Eh? So we leave ourselves too open and become a child of the world, and everybody comes, oh, kwepu denge ngava, we kupoka mporoto.
Yeah. Until you find yourself in the soil. I was in America.
Are you sure?
All right,
great. All right, our time is about 10 o'clock. Okay, up on the top, on the hour. So, yes, good morning, and thanks for being part of the show, for being part of the program, whether you were listening, just listening, not have taken place in terms of calling in. So we still appreciate you. We know that you're out there and listening as well. So you are welcome, and thanks for being part of the program. And for those who have called in, thanks for your contribution. Well, let's do that again tomorrow. So this whole hyphen things,
there are certain things that are very important, and I will come back to this tomorrow. We will look at this one, because there's a few things that comes out that are very, very important. Maybe we need to unpack a little bit. So let's do this tomorrow again. And let me hand you over to a man who doesn't need any introduction, Mr. Franz, and is coming with Kutha Moshe. So, and please continue to listen to all other programming that are coming up on Eagle FM. And for me, Michael Chevelli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead. And goodbye until tomorrow.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randisoma yoye yongeshifa yoye kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaj. Eagle FM. The I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device,